Welcome to Kern Road Mennonite Church as we begin worship this morning. For gathering, let's rejoice because the Lord is King. We can celebrate that together. Number 288 in the hymnal, number 288. Now let's stand.
Our call to worship today is from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God with thanksgiving and praise God with our worship, music, and singing. So let's thank God together today. Your response is a simple thank you. The world is filled with the glory of God, and we say, thank you. The fields and skies are filled with color, and we say, thank you. The gardens, vines, and trees have been filled with fruit and harvested, and we say, thank you. Our tables are overflowing with food, and you have invited us to share, and we say, thank you. Our life is blessed with love of family and friends, and you have invited us to love others. And we say, thank you. And you have been faithful to us, Lord our God, and we say, thank you. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O God, as we enter this service of thanksgiving and worship. We pray in the name and way of Jesus Christ and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the third of three Sundays in which our scriptures are helping us reflect on God's call to each of us to live well with the gifts God has given us, to live radical and abundant lives as we are stewards of all God has given to us. The first Sunday, we focused on gifts and talents. The second Sunday, on money and material resources. And today, we think about the gift of our whole lives, how we bring that to God and live faithfully. We were hoping that Kim Kelsey would be sharing with us. She's not feeling well this morning, so we'll have to hear from Kim another time because she has good things to say. Today, we also celebrate communion, a gift to us from Christ, where Christ meets us with the bread to nourish and strengthen us, and meets us with the cup to remind us of God's covenant of love. So let us worship together, let us praise God with our songs, and let us raise our voices in thankfulness as we sing.
Let us continue praising by turning to number 100 in the hymnal. Number 100, praise him, praise him. Let's stand again to sing.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him. Sound his praises, praises our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, the most excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Our blessed Redeemer, heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
In number 533. Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all, fitting with our theme of our commitment to God and stewardship.
Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all, hear me, blessed Savior, when I call. Hear me, and from thy dwelling place pour down the riches of thy grace.
Children may leave for young children in worship.
We have three scripture passages to read this morning. The first one is from Ephesians 1. 15 to 19. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And the second scripture is Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And the third one is in 2 Corinthians 9, 10 to 12. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God.
Well, as Janice has already shared, our stewardship series this month names Living Radically and Abundantly as Stewards of God's Healing and Hope. As a component of living into God's dream for the world. But how does that actually get lived out in the grind of the daily realities of your life? I was reflecting on that this past week as it relates to my own journey and asking that question, how does stewardship get lived in my life? This past Monday evening was the first meeting of a new Men and Word group, and we shared a bit about ourselves. We had a bit of an introduction to Paul's letter to the Galatians, which we'll be reading together over the next months. And I'm remembering, as I think about my week, one of the several comments that were made that evening. And one of the men said something like this, and that in the midst of all the hard things going on in the world, things feel pretty heavy at times. He said, sometimes it works best to just sit in the midst of the quietness. He turns off the news, tunes out the hard things going on in the world, leaves for a moment the way that people treat each other sometimes and sometimes tweet each other, and just listens for the quietness. And sometimes this helps. On Tuesday, after working at the church for most of the day, and there's a lot going on in the church these days, Janice and I got in the car and we drove with my parents to Central Illinois to be with family for my uncle's visitation and service. This is Beth Troyer's father, Dale. He was 87. Dale and my father grew up in the same farming community in Hopedale, Illinois. So on those 2 days, we heard stories. We met family members that I don't often see, and we walked through the cemetery where generations of my relatives lived and had died. People who had migrated from Europe, people of faith with all of their strengths and weaknesses, people who helped shape a church and a community. Relationships, life, faith, death, hardship, lifestyle, and priority choices, the known and unknown of each other's lives, the changing church and the world, history, family lineage, estrangement, and so on. Some really hard stories that people lived with. Many good ones, too. What is stewardship in the daily realities of our lives? We got home Wednesday in time to prepare food for the family gathering on Thursday. Recent traditions for us include a traditional Thanksgiving meal. I make a turkey on the Weber grill. Janice makes everything else, mashed potatoes and stuffing, cranberry relish, rolls, and so on. I just fuss over the turkey and pretend to know what I'm doing. And the day happened again, as it has many years before. And it was mostly good. But when it was over, it kind of felt like we had just gotten to the other side of it this year. And then yesterday, Janice noted that even in the midst of the craziness of the world and our week, there sure is a lot to be thankful for. That's when I realized that I had not been very present to thankfulness. Not even in the midst of Thanksgiving week. So yesterday, 2 days late, I stopped. I turned off the TV, I put away the newspaper, and in the quietness, I gave thanks for the experiences of the past week, the hardships and the opportunities for the people who were a part of my life that I had been given the opportunity to be in touch with. So many incredible stories and lives of people within our church, outside of our church, in my extended family. We live in a world where there is abuse, sexual harassment, bombings and shootings, broken relationships. We humans don't always treat each other very well. There is greed. There's too much stuff to consume, and political posturing from different sides that seem to hurt people rather than to help. It doesn't take too much to be discouraged with such realities. It isn't hard to forget to be thankful. Speaking of Turkey, I was speaking of Turkey, wasn't I? When I was a youth pastor back in the early 80s, I had a friend and her car had a sticker on the dashboard. I'm sure a lot of you remember it, with a cartoon picture of a turkey on it. Remember what it said? Don't let the turkeys get you down. Right? Don't let the turkeys get you down. I've been reading a number of the Apostle Paul's letters to the early church recently. Elaine read some of the passages this morning from Ephesians and 2 Corinthians, and I had to think, as I read these letters, I bet Paul would have appreciated that sticker. When he was working with those new churches he planted in Corinth and Ephesus and Galatia, and he was all excited about what was happening in his life and in other people's lives, maybe he could have used a little encouragement not to let the turkeys get him down. He was so excited about the message of God's love for all people and its power to change lives. He was so excited about the message of reconciliation and peace that Christ offered to the world. I mean, he was pumped. He was so thankful for the opportunity he had in the early church, that the early church had been given by God to share this message with others on God's behalf. But you know what? Some of the people in those churches, well, they didn't quite like it or get it. They wanted to focus on the old rules and regulations, who was in and who was out. They wanted to focus on appropriate worship styles and all kinds of things. They squabbled with each other about clean and unclean. They argued about right beliefs and right behaviors. They thought separation was the only way to resolve their issues. Yet Paul keeps coming back to the central message of God's love through Christ. This was the power supply for him and for the early church. And his desire is for them to have a deeper relationship, for all people to have a deeper relationship with God. Paul prays for more wisdom and revelation so that people will know God better. Now, he's not focused on head knowledge here of God, but he's focused on helping them to experience God's love for them. This is what will provide the energy, the power, the insight, and the wisdom so their lives can reflect God more completely. Paul calls for the eyes of their hearts to be enlightened. He doesn't talk about their heads, but their hearts, so that they can know hope for the world, so that they can know the riches of their inheritance in Jesus Christ, and so that Christ might dwell in them, so that they can live lives of freedom and confidence as beacons of light in the world. that they might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God in the midst of the world's realities. Paul is convinced that everything, all people, all things can be brought together by the love of Christ. Absolutely everything can be brought together by the love of Christ. And he believed that this new church that God had envisioned for the world, that it can be filled with the empowered believers who would live their lives as God's partners and share their new message of love with the world. Eugene Peterson says of Paul's writings in Ephesians, and I quote, "Paul joins together what has been torn apart in our sin-wrecked world. He, Paul, begins his letter to the Ephesians with an exuberant exploration of what Christians believe about God, and then, like a surgeon skillfully setting a compound fracture, Paul sets this belief in God into our behavior before God, so that bones, belief, and behavior are knit together and they heal. Belief and behavior are knit together and heal. Paul knew something about stewardship. But it was about so much more than money. And I hope you've heard that in the midst of these past three Sundays on stewardship, that when we talk about stewardship, we are talking about a lot more than money. It is talking about money, but when we talk about being good stewards, we also talk about our physical bodies, our unique gifts as individuals, the different passions that we bring with us. And when we talk about being good stewards, we talk about all the things that God wants to affirm in you, in me, in each of us, what God has created in us. This was Jules' message to us a couple of weeks ago. When we talk about being good stewards, we talk about our use of time, we talk about our appreciation for the earth, for all creation, we talk about relationships, the people who have taught us, and those who continue to teach us how to live. When we talk about being good stewards, we talk about all the resources God entrusts to us. Yes, we talk about money and material resources too, all that God has made available to us to use individually and collectively to live out the message of God's purpose. Mostly when we talk about stewardship, we need to talk first about God's love for us and the desire to share that love in the world. This is the crux of why Paul was so excited. This is why Paul was so excited when he was connecting with these new churches. This is one passionate and thankful Paul. He knows God's love to be true. He believes that God wishes for all to experience it. He's felt the power of the risen Christ in his own life. He's seen the power of the risen Christ in new believers, both Jew and Gentile, slave and free, men and women, all who have experienced the love of Christ in their lives. He has seen it make a difference. And when all of us, as the broken people that we are, experience God's love, and when we join our lives and resources with others, well, good things happen. And we all become partners together in welcoming all sorts of new people into our communities as well. And that's when it gets exciting. Richard Rohr suggests that there is a divine source that runs through each one of us. I wonder if this isn't what Paul was talking about as well when he talked about the power available to each of us. Rohr comments that unfortunately, most of us, many of us, spend most of our lives missing this connection of power to the divine source. And we focus, when we focus on faith and religion, we focus more on the oughts and the shoulds. For many, Rohr says, our tendency is to focus on nothingness, of things of lesser importance, things that cater to the expectations of the world around us, and we miss the very best of what our lives can be. Too many of us ultimately squander the resources entrusted to us the opportunities that we have to be generous in the ways that God intended. You don't have to read too much of Paul to hear his passion for inviting people to be good stewards of all the resources given to them individually and collectively. Paul was thankful, he was excited, he was passionate. He believed the calling of this new church of Jesus was to gather all their God-entrusted personal resources together to collectively bring forth with God a living kingdom on the earth. He was on fire with the calling of the new church and with the potential of what God was about to do through it. Now, many believe the church in our world today is in the midst of a significant paradigm shift, perhaps much like the time of Paul. Maybe Paul would have been excited about the church today, too. Some are mourning the loss of a church that has been the church of the last 500 years. Others are rejoicing because they believe the church may once again be waking up to a renewal of the heart of the love of Christ and the kind of passion that Paul had for a church grounded and focused on God's love and bringing out the gifts and resources of God in the midst of the lives of the people. Now, I don't think anyone has a clear idea of what the new thing, the church, how the new church may be emerging, least of all me, but some of these things we are talking about seem to be core. I suspect that at the center will be people who find an authentic experience of God's love and the power that love offers, and good stewardship of the whole life kind of people whose whole lives seek to reflect God in them will be a part of this. Faithful people, rooted and established in love, moving together with the power of the Spirit as their guide, combining their gifts and resources together, and God will enable the church to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. In the 2 Corinthians passage that Elaine read this morning, it says that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I so believe this congregation is full of people who know the deep love of God in their lives, and for this I am thankful. There is wisdom, there is grace, there is compassion, there is patience, there is self-control in the midst of the gifts that are represented among us. I also believe this is a church of good stewards, many gifts and resources that have been shared over many years, many gifts and talents and resources ready and waiting to be shared in the midst of these times. And I pray that we can continue to find creative and wise ways to unleash them so that the kingdom of God can be lived in our time as well. We have so much we can learn from one another as we continue to learn how to be better stewards. And we have much to offer the community in gifts as we are able to be generous with them. We have so many gifts and resources to offer in learning about sustainable living, gardening, solar panels, food, cooking, healthier bodies and exercise, money, budgeting, investing, saving, taxes, parenting, and the list goes on and on. And yes, we can be generous with our money and our material resources too. If we continue to be open to new things and are willing to listen to and with one another, there are many ways in which we will be able to continue to be a part of the new ways that God is moving in our world. As we sow generously, we will reap generously, and we will be made rich in every way. I invite you to join me in being authentically thankful for all that God is doing in our midst and in our world. Even on our hardest days, even in the midst of the greatest challenges of our world, may God's love shine forth, and may we be thankful. As we participate today together in communion, I invite you to remember God's love for you through Jesus Christ. And remember that God has created you and given you many gifts and resources to be nurtured, invested, and shared with others, for so much has been entrusted to you.
Let's respond to the challenge of that message by singing together, "For Me to Live is Christ," number 111 in the Purple Book. Sing the story, 111. I think this song is relatively new here, so Ruth will play through it once, and then we'll sing it together. Number 111, let's stand.
As followers of Jesus Christ, our practice is to join in sharing the Lord's Supper with all who have proclaimed Jesus as Lord of their life. When we do this, we link our lives with our brothers and sisters around the world, and we also link our lives with believers of past centuries. Some of us have made a public commitment to Christ, and some of us have not. The congregation is a place for all. Those of us who are seeking after we've made this commitment to be faithful, those of us who are considering it. There are a number of the people in this congregation at this place right now where they are considering this commitment to Christ, and what a privilege it is for us to have them in our midst. So anyone is welcome, public commitment or not, to receive a bit of bread and a blessing at the welcome table in the foyer. Beth Gehrig will serve you there. We will also have three pairs of servers at the front, and on this side you have the option of gluten-free bread as well. And Barbara Devereaux will serve those who wish to remain seated, so if you do, please raise your hand to be served. We remember that this bread is to nourish and strengthen us. This cup is to remind us of God's covenant of love. So come, receive the bread and cup. Jesus Christ invites you to be here, to be part of the people of God. Come humbly, not because you have earned a place here, but because you need God, God's mercy, God's help. Come because you love God and you want to love God more. Come because Jesus first loved us and gave himself for us. Come because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come because you want to experience the mystery of God's grace. As we take this bread and cup, we remember the story that has been passed down to us for generations. Thus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink this, you remember me. For whenever you eat the bread or drink the cup, you remember me, my life, my ministry, my death, my resurrection, my love, until I come again." Let's pray. God, our Creator, thank you that you continually reach out to us in love in ways that we can receive. Open our hearts to you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose love pursues us our whole life long. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life to us in word and deed, even unto death, death on a cross. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Feed us with your love, that we may be filled with power to love God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. We give you thanks for this meal, and pray in the name and the way of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.